So we're concluding this very long series. I mean, we know we're very used to longish series, usually about 3 months. But we've been studying the letter of Paul to the Ephesians for 6 months, half a year. We've been studying this letter actually more than half a year because we started in January and here we are in August. So we thank God. We thank God for what He taught us. And this week and going forward is a time of reflection. We don't want to just do these things. That's what we do on Sundays. Then we go back home and business as usual. We want to take hold of the things God has worked into our lives. And we want to retain hold of those things because the enemy will want to snatch them. He will look for any loophole. He will look for any cracks, any areas of our lives that are not submitted to the Lord. He will want to ooze his poison in there in order to take us out. Because he knows that it's those who stand firm till the end that will be saved. We're not going to say to the Lord, well, we served you for 2 years. Or for 6 years or 10 years. What doesn't that count? No, Jesus himself said, it is those who stand firm till the very end. And what that means is when we die or when Jesus comes. So I pray that God will help all of us to determine, children, you're here today, it applies to you too, that you will resolve in your heart that for however long God is going to give you on this earth, you're going to resolve in your heart that you would always live to find out the will of God and to do it with all your heart with the help of the Holy Spirit. See, this topic has been under our overarching theme, authentic Christianity, which has been running now for well over 2 years. God has kept us here. Why? Because there is a lot in the world that is masquerading as Christianity. And some of them look very close to the truth, but they are not authentic. And people who go that way, they're going to find themselves deviating more and more that they will not be able to stand the storms of this life. They will be taken out. That's why God wants his children to study the authentic Christianity and to stay with the authentic Christianity and reject everything else, no matter the big name or the stature of the person who's bringing that. You are responsible for what you believe. When you stand before God, as every human being is going to stand before Jesus, whether they claim to believe in him or not, every human being is going to stand before him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day. And nobody is going to be able to say, well, that person said, or that group said. No, what did you take on board from what God has revealed to us in his word? Now, the letter of Paul to the Ephesian church is a very amazing letter. For one thing, that letter, when you go through it, you're thinking, what was Paul trying to correct? Because if you read all of the other letters, there is an agenda. Although he teaches the truth that doesn't contradict any scripture from Genesis to Revelation, there's usually an aspect of error or aspects of error that Paul is trying to correct. But this letter, you don't find it there. This letter then stands as, if you like, it is the manual that extends across the whole scripture because it declares that all of scripture, all of life, all of our being, our eternal security lies in only one person, as we've been singing, and that is Jesus Christ. And so Paul establishes that in that letter. As we found out, half the letter is just about establishing this truth. And what happens is, if you understand the truth from the letter of Paul to the Ephesian church, you can refer all the way back from Genesis, all the way through the Old Testament. You can go forward from there all the way to Revelation, and you can make references to the key principles that are being taught there in this letter. It's amazing. Please let's not let go. We now have the record of it online. If you miss any of it, even if you didn't, it would be a good idea from time to time to listen from January to August. All the messages in line, because they came in turn, following the verses or the bits of this letter without taking those bits out of the context of the letter or out of the context of the whole scripture. Very important. So this is our focus for this week, but going forward, we want to reflect on what we have learned. We want to actually say to one another, especially in church in the home today, this week, this is a difference the study of this letter has made to my life, and I'm going to hold on to that. We should be prepared to testify to one another going forward the insights we gain and the impact those insights made on our lives. Because when you share it, then you remember it. You cement it even more in your life. So that's our focus for this week and for today. So what we're going to do next is to help us to remember the overview. Many people go wrong because they take scripture out of context. Even well-meaning people, we want to stay in context all the time. So we want to have an overview of the whole of the letter of Paul to the Ephesian church. The first thing we're going to do is to listen to people who are really good. They are talented people, gifted people. They're very good at presenting the overview in a very visual way. So we're going to watch and listen to the summary of the book of Ephesians first, as presented by the Bible Project. The perfect kind of overview, so quick and so visual. Now we're going to do something else that is equally important. In the Bible, both Old Testament and New, it was the habit of God's people to have the public reading of Scripture. And sometimes if you read the Old Testament, men, women and children would stand for hours on end, weeping as they heard the Word of God being read to them. That's the power of the public reading of the Word of God. And in the New Testament, Paul also said to Timothy that in the church that he was going to oversee, that they should not neglect the public reading of Scripture. If you wondered why every Sunday we read a portion of Scripture, a little portion, that's the reason why. But we're going to read a massive portion of Scripture. We're actually going to do an ambitious thing and read through the whole of Ephesians. Now, that is not unusual for us in King's Church. If you're a visitor, we've done it for other books of the Bible. This is longer than the other books we've read, but we're going to do it through God's grace. You know the way we do it, you remember? We've got the pages there. I can tell you now there are 41 of them. The biggest we've read before, I think, was somewhere between 22 and 25. This is 41 pages. So we need people to be quite smart about it in coming up. Don't be shy coming up. If you can read, you're welcome to come here. We're not saying come and somebody else help you read it. No, make sure that you can, so that we move quite quickly through the pages. Okay? Now this microphone will pick you up here. Don't try to grab it or anything. Just come here and stand like I'm standing and read. They'll pick you up. Everybody will pick you up and you'll be picked up at the back. So that's what we're going to do. We'll have people lining up. When you see the line is getting shorter, you join the line and you can read over and over again. So don't take two pages, just take one, but you can come back and read another page. And we'll have it going smoothly through. Are we ready? So please, can we have the first lot of people coming up? And you pick up one. The pages are numbered, so make sure, make sure that the page that you have is following the one of the person behind you, so we don't makes up the pages. Now, when you finish, you can either take your portion of scripture away and meditate on it, or you put it on top of that envelope over there. Please be careful of that as you walk across. So you pick it up, read, and then you put it over there, or you take it with you. Thank you very much. So here we go.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
For he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves.
In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth to Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers.
I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you spirit of wisdom and revelation so you can know him better. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and in comparing great power for us who believe.
That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, who fills everything in every way.
As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus.
For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations.
His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens who God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with the Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together, arises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you are two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets.
This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promised Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things.
His intent that was now through the church in manifold, the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly spheres, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory.
And for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ.
And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fill the whole universe.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work.
So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed.
That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and the word taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires,
to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving.
For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord.
Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. For everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you."
Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are the members of his body.
For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing well, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free.
And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand.
Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of praise and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, my words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and the love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our God and our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
Thank you very much, everyone. I enjoyed your reading, especially the children. God bless you. Keep reading. Keep asking the Lord to minister to you. And it's very refreshing and very anointed as well. Some people had never heard their voices raised before. I heard them read. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. We'll have communion last Sunday of the month. We break bread together as the Lord has asked us to do. And we'll just bow our heads in the midst of God's people, in the presence of God. Just ask the Lord to minister to you. If there's anything in your heart, there's any unforgiveness like you've listened to, I just ask the Lord, Lord, please forgive me. I forgive the person that hurt me. Time for you to pray, please. And the Bible is, you know, encourages us to do this so that when we eat, take the bread and take the drink, we'll give thanks to God. We will be blessed. We will be healed.